You wanted to turn there. We'll begin by reading the text. Matthew chapter 16, starting verse 1, we'll read to 19. The Pharisees and Sadducees came to Jesus and tested him by asking him to show them a sign from heaven. He replied, "When evening comes, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, today it will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. The wicked and adulterous generation looks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of Jonah." Jesus then left them and went away. When they went across the lake, the disciples forgot to take bread. "Be careful," Jesus said to them. "Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees." They discussed this among themselves and said, "It is because we didn't bring any bread." Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked, "You little faith, why are you talking among yourselves about having no bread? Do you still not understand? Don't you remember the 5 loaves and the 5,000 and how many baskets you gathered? Or the 7 loaves and the 4,000 and how many basketfuls you gathered? How is it you don't understand that I was not talking to you about bread? But be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees." Then they understood that he was not telling them to guard against the yeast used in bread, but against the teachings of the Pharisees and Sadducees. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you lose in earth will be loosed in heaven." It was autumn, and the Indians on the remote reservation asked their new chief if the winter was going to be cold or mild. Since he was a new Indian chief in a modern society, he had never been taught the old secrets, and when he looked at the sky, he couldn't tell what the weather was going to be. Nevertheless, to be on the safe side, he replied to his tribe that the winter was indeed going to be cold, and the members of the village should collect wood and be prepared. But also being a practical leader, after several days, he had an idea. He went to the phone booth and called the National Weather Service and asked, "Is the coming winter going to be cold?" "It looks like the winter is going to be quite cold," the meteorologist at the Weather Service responded. So the chief went back to his people and told them to collect even more wood in order to be prepared. A week later, he called the National Weather Service again. "Is it going to be a very cold winter?" "Yes," the man at the National Weather Service again replied. "It's going to be a very cold winter." The chief again went back to his people and ordered them to collect every scrap of wood they could find. 2 weeks later, he called the National Weather Service again. "Are you absolutely sure that the winter is going to be very cold?" "Absolutely," the man replied. "It's going to be one of the coldest winters ever." "How can you be so sure?" the chief asked. The weatherman replied, "Because the Indians are collecting wood like crazy." These last few months, we've had some of the most interesting weather that I can ever remember. Remember October, how beautiful, warm, sunny it was? Since then, we've had record rain and flooding, 60 to 70 mile an hour winds, massive power outages, followed by the cold and snow. I'm confident we all have a story or two that we're going to remember probably the rest of our lives from this past storm. Weather has always been interesting and important to people. important to farmers since they make a living based on what the weather does. You know, we just heard recently what's going on in California with the crops, 3/4 of them being destroyed. It's going to affect a lot of farmers down there. Probably affect us all because they say 80% of the winter's fruit comes from California or America. I've also heard that the weather determines mood in some people. There is truly such a thing as SAD or SAD or seasonal affect disorder or winter depression. The typical symptoms of SAD include depression, lack of energy, increased need for sleep, a craving for sweets and weight gain. I just diagnosed myself. Sounds like a lot of us. I think the weather is important to us because it gives us something to talk about, you know, something that we can guess. We can talk to anybody about the weather, any stranger. Of course, those people that live in the hurricane area and the tornado areas, keeping a watch on the weather is vitally important. Still remember from about 10 years or maybe even more ago, seeing the most gorgeous sunset ever. Karina and I were on vacation as we sat and watched the sunset on a San Diego beach. It was pretty romantic as we sat there quietly. So Trina brought up the fact that, you know, the better the sunset, the more pollution's in the air. Is the old adage true or not? Red sky at night, a sailor's delight. Red sky in the morning, sailor's warning. I did some internet research on this and found out that for the most part it is a true statement, especially in the mid-latitude areas where the weather travels from west to east. Red sky at night, a sailor's delight. When we see a red sky at night, this means that the setting sun is sending its light through a high concentration of dust particles. This usually indicates high pressure and stable air coming in from the west. Basically, good weather will follow. Red sky in the morning, a sailor's warning. Red sunrise reflects the dust particles of a system that has just passed from the west. Indicates that a storm system may be moving to the east. If the morning sky is deep fiery red, it means there's a high water content in the atmosphere, so rain is likely on its way. In summary, what I learned is that if you can see the sunrise, but the west of the sky is dark, look out for the approaching bad weather. If you can see the sunset, the weather conditions will be nice. Point out what Jesus is making here in our text. You know, it's not about the weather. You know, it's getting their attention about the weather. But what he's telling them is more important is what's happening spiritually in our world. We may not be blind when it comes to the weather, but we must not be blind when it comes to what is happening spiritually in our world. Let's think about what Jesus has said in regard to protecting ourselves spiritually in this world from our text. One, we must interpret the times, not the seasons. Two, we must be aware of the yeast, not the bread. And three, we must cling to the rock, not the sand. We must interpret the times, not the seasons. Early in World War II, baseball broadcasters were forbidden to give information about weather conditions over the air for fear it might be of aid to enemy bombers. On one St. Louis broadcast, Izzy Dean and his play-by-play partner Johnny O'Hara filled a rain delay with about an hour of aimless talk, never mentioning why there was no action on the field. Finally, Izzy Dean ran out of words, as O'Hara explained it, and he said, "If you folks don't know what's going up the game, just stick your heads out the window." Sticking your head out the window is one way to determine the weather. It's pretty accurate. But determining the signs of our times may be a bit harder. Back to our text, Matthew 6 in the first three verses. The Pharisees and Sadducees came to Jesus and tested him by asking him to show them a sign from heaven. He replied, "When evening comes, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, today it will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs or the times. Most of us have no problem finding out the weather is going to be. You know, we just turn on the radio or the TV. We can even go to the internet. We can find out what the weather is going to be not only today, but in weeks to come. But when it comes to knowing what kind of spiritual temptations we will be faced with, we may have trouble figuring this one out. I think we need to have our eyes on the world, but our hearts and our minds in the Word of God if we're going to be able to protect ourselves in this unstable and unspiritual world. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of this world. Summing up his troubles, Secretary of State, way back in the 1960s, Dean Rusk, is a statement probably still holds true today. He told the House Foreign Affairs Committee with a sigh, the world is round. Only one-third of the people of this world are asleep at any given moment. The other two-thirds are awake and probably stirring up mischief somewhere. Somebody somewhere is stirring up trouble in this world of at all times. We must be alert to what is going on in order to protect ourselves and others. 1 Peter 5, verses 8 and 9. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. The only way to be alert is to live the faith. Read the Word. Go to church. Be much in prayer. An old man who was known to like his hard liquor, he explained that he drank only to drown his troubles. After you drown them, why do you continue to drink? He was asked. You don't know my troubles, he said. My troubles are excellent swimmers. I try to drown them, but they swim right back up again. The old man isn't too smart, is he? If he was, he wouldn't be drinking in the first place. Doesn't take a spiritually alert person very long to figure out that drinking never helped anybody, never cured any problems. Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 17. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. The only way to be alert in this world is by frequent prayer and continuing reading of the Word of God. Psalms 119, verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. We must be aware of the yeast, not the bread. I read on the internet of dogs becoming ordained ministers. One guy received an online ordination for his dog, so now he's allowed to bless all fire hydrants. Another story I heard was of Sadie, a Labrador Retriever, belonging to the Charles Thurber family in California, was ordained as a minister of faith by the Hilltop House Church in San Rafael. The dog's name and $15 were submitted by the Better Business Bureau of San Francisco to a newspaper ad. By return mail, Sadie received her certificate of ordination. We know it's getting pretty bad when a dog becomes ordained ministers. Now, maybe it is all a joke, but there are plenty of dogs out there preaching. Of course, I'm not referring literally to dogs, but rather to some self-proclaimed prophets or preachers who are quote dogs. Philippians 3, verses 2, or just verse 2. Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh. The dogs referred to in this text were false prophets or false preachers. I believe they were called Judaizers or those who mixed the law and the grace, which is false teaching. Sometimes we're guilty of the same teaching. So on one hand, we talk of how we are saved by the grace of God. And then on the other, we try to convince people that they have to be perfect and walk the line in order to be saved. For example, I used to think that if the church had three services, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday, Every Christian should attend every one of those services or else. Do not forsake the assembly. You know, or else what? Or else you won't be saved? See, that's nothing but legalism. That's a preaching grace, but practicing legalism. No one can be saved by their good works. Not one. You know, not Ralph Johnson, not Billy Graham, not even the Mother Teresa. We're all dependent on the grace and the graciousness of God. And I do believe, and the Bible teaches, that Christians hurt themselves by not being faithful to the fellowship of the church. It doesn't mean, however, that God is going to keep them out of heaven. Back to our text, Matthew 16, verse 6. Jesus said, "Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees." Skipping down to verse 11 and 12. "How is it that you don't understand that I was not talking to you about bread? But be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees." Then they understood that he was not telling them to guard against the yeast used in bread, but against the teachings of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Brothers and sisters, there's a lot of false preachers out there, a lot more than you probably believe. We need to be aware of the yeast, meaning we need to be aware of the teachings of the false prophets. There's one reason why. During the Great Famine of China, the people made bread from a kind of edible earth, but its ingredients were devoid of any nutrients. For those who ate their loaves starved. There is also what is called the nardoo plant, which grows in Australia. The spores of the clover fern can be made into bread and porridge, but they contain no proteins, carbohydrates, or vitamins, the essentials for sustaining life. Those who depend on it for food will have their stomachs filled, but they would eventually die. The same thing is true when it comes to false teaching. A person can get their fill of it, but it doesn't mean that it'll do them any good. In fact, they may die spiritually. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves." We must cling to the rock, not the sand. Matthew 16, continuing with our text, verse 14 through 18. They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by the Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." A sailor in a shipwreck was thrown upon a rock, where he flung in great danger until the tide went down. Later a friend asked him, "Jim, didn't you shake with fear when you were hanging on that rock?" "Yes, but the rock didn't." Jesus said, "And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." The rock upon which Jesus would build his church was Peter's confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus is our rock. No, he is our hope. He is our only hope. We must cling to Him, not the shifting sands or the things of this world. When we were in California, Trina and I saved up enough money for a down payment on a house. God bless us with this tiny 351 square foot fixer-upper. We lived there a year. I probably worked on that house every day. And my employer gave us the opportunity to come back to Seattle. We discussed what to do with that house. We thought about keeping it as an investment and renting it out. I was skeptical doing this because of the liability of an old pool that was in the backyard. So we sold it. Since then, the housing market went crazy. with the aid of a website called Zillow. Zillow.com. I've watched that house almost quadruple in value. If we had kept that house and sold it later, we could have cleared at least $500,000 more than what we bought that house for and in less than 7 years. And other than winning the lottery, I don't know anything that pays like that. I could kick myself for not keeping that house. But listen, I could kick myself a whole lot harder if I had never given my life to Christ, if I had never known Him. Why? Because someday this life will end, and all the money in the world won't mean anything then, nor will it to get anyone or me to heaven. We must cling to Christ, not the shifting sands of worldliness. In conclusion, maybe some of you have heard this story. The story of one of the Jubilee singers, a student of Fisk University, was on board a steamboat that caught on fire. He had the presence of mind to put life preservers on himself and wife. But in the agony of despair, when all on board were trying to save himself, someone took from his wife her life preserver. So that she found herself helpless in the water. But she clung to her husband, placing her hands firmly on his shoulders as she swam home. After a little while, her strength was exhausted. "I can hold on no longer," she cried out. "Try a little longer," was her husband's agonized plea. Then he added, "Let's sing Rock of Ages." Immediately, they both began to sing ever so faintly. Soon the people around them heard them singing. One by one, exhausted swimmers raised their heads and joined in the singing. Soon, strength seemed to come with the singing, and they were able to hold out a little longer. Their boat was seen approaching, and they did keep enough strength to stay afloat till the crew lifted them on board. And so it was a hymn that helped save more than one from death. "Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee." We must cling to the rock, not the sinking sands of the world. Thank you.